Chapter 7. Right of the Crooked Path. Rollo Tarn gestured, unleashing his spell, and multicoloured flames washed over the deck of the airship. Gage threw himself aside and fired one of his pistols. Tarn staggered with a startled cry as a blossom of blood appeared on his robes. He clapped a burning hand to his shoulder and screeched, "Kill him!" Tattooed crew members leapt to obey. Gage cast aside the empty pistol and fired the other. Tarn ducked away, and a crewman folded over with a groan. Then the others were on Gage, and he had no time for anything but the fight at hand. Parrying a blow from a cutlass, he drew his knife and retreated, intent on putting the mast at his back. The crew were tough, experienced, the veterans of tavern brawls and boarding actions. But he was a knight of the Order of Azir. With cool, precise skill, he used their numbers against them, as he'd been taught. Witch hunters often found themselves alone and outnumbered, and Gage had learned how to turn that weakness into strength. As the crewman closed in on him, he twisted aside, avoiding blows that fell on the men behind him. His rapier lashed out, not for killing blows, but in crippling slashes directed at tendons and hamstrings. Over-eager crewmen tripped over their wounded fellows, opening themselves up for his blade. His knife zipped out across wrists and elbows. However, skill alone wouldn't see him through. He knew that, as surely as he knew that he had to stop whatever Right Tarn had set in motion. Karras's light wouldn't hold the demons back forever either. The Stormcast might be able to purge the vessel of its demonic infection, but only if he were given time. As he fought against the crew, Gage kept an eye on the duel between the Lord Veritant and the Fate Master. The two warriors seemed evenly matched, but Aek was fresher. The wailing blade he held disrupted the wind with every slash, causing the deck to pitch and yaw. Karras stumbled back, barely interposing his own sword as the Fate Master struck at his head. The echoes of the blow swept across the deck, knocking several of Gage's opponents sprawling. He took advantage of the momentary opening and lunged towards Tarn. The Magister, hand still pressed to his wounded shoulder, thrust his staff towards Gage. The sigils hammered into its length flared with a sickly light. Gage, on instinct, dove aside as the sorcerous blast pierced the space where he'd been standing. It enveloped a crewman who'd been coming up behind him, club raised. The man screamed as his body tore itself apart. His flesh split like an overcooked sausage, revealing scales and feathers. His bones splintered and reshaped themselves, lengthening and curving. His flesh sloughed away and resurged, colours changing. Eyes and mouth sprouted in the nooks and crannies of his new shape, as thorn-like talons slid from raw, fleshy paws. Bulbous tendrils composed of repurposed muscle and fat lashed out in an orgy of agonized violence. The thing screamed through a thicket of sharp fangs. Unlucky crewmen were smashed from their feet or torn apart where they stood. Loyalty to the dark gods was no proof against the maddened instincts of the newborn chaos spawn. It was a thing of pure hunger and instinct, all that it had been consumed in the unholy fires of its creation. The chaos spawn lunged for Gage, yowling. He ran, leaping over casks and bundles of rope, and darted behind a mast. The chaos spawn blundered after him, splintering the deck boards with its heavy body. It caught hold of the mast and swung itself around, its stretched maw opening in a roar. Gage dropped flat as its claw lashed out. The mast shuddered as the beast struck it. Gage turned, caught hold of a mast line, and chopped through the knot holding it secure. He was jerked off his feet and yanked upwards as the rope slithered through the pulleys above. The chaos spawn shrieked and pursued him, scrambling swiftly up the mast. Gage slammed into the mast, on a perch just beneath the bottom of the gas bag. He let go of the rope and caught hold of a guideline, preventing himself from plummeting back down to the deck below. He tried to think of some way of defeating the creature, rapidly ascending in pursuit. There were any number of blessed sigils and sacred talismans in the pockets of his coat, but he doubted they would do any good. Mind racing, he glanced up across the night sky, back towards the ether dock. A thin shape was visible, a sky cutter. The smaller vessel was a graceful blade, its ether sails pushing at the air like the wings of a falcon. The Skycutter arrowed towards the hopeful traveller, and Gage's heart leapt as he caught the faint sound of a Duwadin sky shanty ringing out from the approaching vessel.
"Bryn," he muttered.
The Skycutter caught the wind and surged forwards, closing the gap. No one had noticed it yet, being too distracted by the Chaos Spawn's rampage. Gage glanced down as the creature hauled itself closer. Its bulk was still realigning itself to its new shape, slowing its ascent. It lashed out at him with a spiny tendril, and he slammed back against the mast to avoid it. Its claws tore into the perch, and he stabbed at them with his rapier. A tendril, tipped by a snapping maw, shot towards him, and, using the guideline for balance, he ducked aside, swinging out over the deck. He pinned the tendril to the mast, eliciting a shriek from the Chaos Spawn. The monster began shaking the mast, trying to free itself. Gage ripped his sword free, and the beast screamed as it made to haul itself up onto his perch. Before it could do so, the Skycutter crashed into the side of the hopeless traveller with a tooth-rattling roar. Timbers bent and burst, and the airship thrashed like a wounded animal. Crewmen were flung screaming from the ship, and Gage was nearly hurled from the mast. The Chaos Spawn wasn't as lucky. It tumbled to the shattered deck below with a bellow. Through the smoke of the impact, Gage could see that the Skycutter had lived up to its name. Its reinforced prow had chopped into the side of the hopeless traveller like a knife blade. The smaller vessel hung in place, embedded in the larger airship. It had torn a gouge in the deck, deep towards its centre. Stunned crewmen started towards the vessel, even as others ran to try and steady the hopeless traveller. The airship was listing badly, its hull creaking. Shouts of alarm filled the air. Gage wondered how much longer it would hold together.
"Ha-ha!"
Bryn bellowed as he dropped down from the prow of the Skycutter, a pistol in either hand. The Duwadin's armour was scorched and stained, but he seemed to be in one piece.
"Kazukan, Kazukha! The Duwadin are on the warpath, and your debts have come due!"
The Drakefire pistols roared, and crewmen fell. Bryn holstered the weapons and unslung his hammer, swinging it out in a bone-crushing arc. He trod over the bodies of the fallen, accompanied by the Griffhound, Zephyr.
"Oh, Gage! You can come down now. I am here, and you're safe!"
"I'm not worried about me, Bryn. Watch out!"
Gage shouted down as the Chaos Spawn rose unsteadily to its feet, its many eyes fixed on the Duwadin, who turned to face it.
"Come on then, you ugly—"
he began. A double-bladed axe spun through the air, embedding itself in the Spawn's skull. The creature stiffened, whined, and slumped. It seemed to deflate as Gage watched. Kuva leapt lightly from the Skycutter and reclaimed her axe. Bryn glared at her.
"He was mine."
"There are plenty of other things to kill."
Kuva nodded to Gage as he climbed down from the mast.
"You caught the Cursling."
"We caught more than that. The Skycutter?"
"We borrowed it from the dock when Zephyr came to find us."
She bestowed a rare smile on him.
"I had forgotten how much fun they are to fly."
The smile vanished as quickly as it had surfaced. She spun, axe chopping through a crossbow bolt as it streaked towards her. The crewman who'd been holding it backed away, hastily attempting to reload. Kuva pursued him, frowning. Gage looked at Bryn.
"Help Karus!"
Zephyr was already loping across the deck, following the ringing clash of blades. Karus and his opponent ignored everything else, intent only on each other. They moved through the smoke, easily holding their balance on the swaying deck as their swords connected again and again. Bryn frowned and peered at the duel. The Fate Master raced through the air, and Karus met him, blade to blade. Gage and Bryn had to turn away as lightning flashed.
"Doesn't look like he needs any help to me," the Duwadin growled.
"It's a distraction. I need him to help me undo whatever rites they've begun. Help him!"
"And what'll you be doing while I'm doing that?"
"What I can."
Gage started towards the rail and the wound that the Skycutter's arrival had opened in the hopeful traveller's starboard side. He had not seen Tarn since the crash, but it was too much to hope that the Magister had been one of those killed in the impact. Sheathing his sword, he climbed out over the rail. The wind tore at him, and he caught a glimpse of the city spinning out below. From this height, it looked like the rings of a tree. Moving carefully, he kicked aside broken hull planks and clambered through the hole, down into the ruptured hold. He was acting on instinct now. Tarn had mentioned a right, but there had been no evidence of one in the warehouse or above decks. A curious sight greeted him as he dropped beneath the broken deck. A circle of 9 acolytes, dressed much the same as those they had fought in the warehouse, sat in a wide circle around an alchemical flame, burning up from a large, flat, crystalline plate. Braziers had been arranged about the hold, but several had been knocked over, scattering burning coals. The wood smouldered. Despite the condition of the hold, the edge of the skycutter's prow thrust into their sanctum, and the 9 acolytes paid no heed to anything save the flame. Their hands moved in ritual gestures, and their voices, hoarse with effort and exhaustion, were raised in a chant. They looked wasted somehow, as if they had not eaten in weeks. Their golden masks sat strangely on their faces, and their robes hung loosely. Gage had seen similar sights before. They were feeding something of themselves into whatever rite they were conducting. It was draining them of life, so it could grow stronger. But as to what the rite was, he could not say. In the false light of the flame, he could see different parts of Hammerhal, the images floating like soap bubbles above the crystal plate. In one, the door of a tavern split like a new scab as something tubular and frenzied wriggled out into a packed common room. Demonic flames washed across the startled patrons, consuming them. In another bubble, the back wall of a stable began to shudder as pink shapes burst from it like maggots from a wound. The chuckling demons fell on the screaming horses with a monstrous enthusiasm. Sickened, Gage looked away. It was the same in the other bubbles, and not just demons, but twisted beastkin as well. Tsangors erupted into filthy alleyways and temple naves, and they immediately set about slaughtering anyone who crossed their path. More bubbles rose from the flames, tens, dozens, hundreds. In each, similar scenes played out. In the barracks of a Free Guild regiment, in a Dwardin delving tunnel, inside the warehouses of the Aether Dock, anywhere and everywhere Tarn's wood had been put to use, demons and beastkin emerged from the flat plains.
"Gate and key, as I said,"
Gage looked up. Tarn walked down the steps on the other side of the hold, followed by several crewmen.
"The God King's witches harness the volatile emanations that nestle in the bedrock of this place to create protective wards about the city. Wards which are proof against even the most cunning magics, as others have discovered to their detriment time and again. However, I long ago learned that there is no problem money cannot solve."
Tarn rubbed his fingers together for emphasis.
"You brought the wood in, sold it to unsuspecting buyers, and somehow opened a path through the city's defences,"
Gage said, circling the chanting acolytes, keeping them between himself and Tarn. There had to be some way to break the spell.
"It took years, but I learned patience in service to the changer of ways."
Tarn lifted a sheathed sword into view.
"I learned many things, like the best way to harvest cursed wood from a god-touched forest, and use it as a pathway back to that same forest. Though, granted, I had some help with that."
Gage lifted his own sword. The crewmen descended and spread out around him. Demonic faces leered at him from the walls and beams of the hold, laughing silently at his predicament.
"You think you've won, don't you?"
he said. Tarn laughed.
"No, this is but the beginning."
He drew his sword and gazed down its length. Ugly, gash-like sigils marked the blade.
"This city is well defended, but there is an army on the other side of the gate. The blessed children of change wait for us to open the way from this side. Hammerhal Gyra will fall to the warflocks of the Hexwood. Then Hammerhal Aksha. And after that, who is to say?"
Gage shook his head in disbelief at such hubris. Men like Tarn always spoke with conviction, even when they said the same words 100 men before them had already said, and 100 men after would say too. It was always the same. Domination, conquest, hubris. His sword still extended. Gage cast a quick look around. He needed a distraction. The deck above bowed and burst, raining jagged chunks of planking down on the congregants. They did not cease their chanting, though slivers of wood pierced the chests and arms of several. Tarn stepped back, cursing as Karras and the Fate Master slammed into the floor in a cloud of splinters.
"That'll do," Gage said.
The two warriors were on their feet almost instantly, neither giving ground. Their swords crashed together with hurricane force, and demon winds lashed through the hold. Crewmen were lifted and hurled back against the hull. The flames snapped and surged.
"Ike, take the fight away from here. We're too close now,"
Tarn howled. He drew his own blade and lunged for Karras. Gage intercepted him. As their swords scraped together, Gage caught hold of Tarn's robes and swung him into the flames. It wasn't pretty, but it was effective. Tarn screamed in agony as the mystic fire blazed up, seemingly consuming him. Hearing his screams, the Fate Master glanced around, as if in concern. Karras seized the opportunity, and his judgment blade crashed down on his opponent's helm, splitting the metal. The Fate Master groaned and swept his sword out. A typhoon of wind sprang up and caught at Karras. Slowly, the Lord Veritant was forced back by the building tempest. His armoured boots dug shallow trenches in the deck as he was pressed back towards the place where the skycutter had impacted the hopeful traveller. The smaller vessel shook as the mystic winds lashed it. With a trembling roar, it was ejected from the hull of the larger airship, hurtling away and down towards the city below. The winds built to a screaming crescendo. Karras spun his blade and stabbed it into the deck in an attempt to anchor himself. Even so, Gage could see that it wouldn't hold for long. Unless he acted quickly, the Lord Veritant was going to be swept out of the hold. He lunged, thrusting his rapier through a gap in the Fate Master's armor. The creature stiffened and whirled, dragging the winds along with his blade. Gage was flung backwards, perilously close to the flames. He rolled aside, only just managing to avoid them. As he rose to his feet, he saw that the eldritch flames had spread, consuming the circle of chanting acolytes. Their seated shapes burned like hunched pyres. They hadn't even tried to escape. The spell had consumed them utterly. There would be no easy way to break it now. He turned back to the fray as a hurled axe struck the Fate Master in the chest, knocking him flat. Kuva leapt down into the hold, reaching for the haft of her axe. The Fate Master lurched up, driving her back. He tore the axe from his chest and cast it away. The elf ducked aside as the warrior hacked at her, and his blade split a support beam. The hold groaned as the flames crept higher. More of the heat blister images formed. They drifted through the hold, momentarily distracting the combatants. Among the new images, Gage saw a forest and the silver-armored forms of hallowed knights locked in battle with Zangors and demons. Whatever was going on, it wasn't isolated to Hammerhal Gyra. Blades slammed together with a crack of steel. Karras had regained his feet, and the Fate Master met him. Even wounded, the Servant of Chaos seemed determined to prevent them from interfering with the flames in any way. Kuva caught Gage's eye from across the hold. She glanced up, and he saw Bryn standing above, at the edge of the hole in the upper deck. The Dwadin lifted a pistol meaningfully. Gage nodded, and he and Kuva moved to flank the Fate Master. Karras wouldn't thank them, but that was a problem for later. Needs must when demons drove. A Drakefire pistol roared from above as Bryn made his contribution to the fray. The Fate Master staggered. He turned, eyes glazed with pain.
"Nowhere to go,"
Gage said, lifting his rapier. Kuva raised her axe and stepped forwards. Karras stepped back, a disgruntled look on his face. The Fate Master tore off his battered helmet, exposing pale, saturnine features covered in blood.
"There is always another path," he said, smiling slightly.
Then, with a single, awkward step, he dove into the flames, dragging his screeching blade in his wake. Startled, Gage made no move to stop him. The flames blazed up, licking at the walls, and the Fate Master vanished. Whether dead or simply gone, Gage couldn't say, and he didn't particularly care at that moment.
"Karras, we may need your lantern," he shouted, gesturing to the flames. "Whatever they've started, I know of no way to stop it."
"We have to destroy this ship,"
Kuva said, glaring at the flames.
"That alone will not be enough," said the Lord Veritant. "The demons have already breached the wards of the city. We must collapse the paths they've created and draw them back into the realm of chaos."
Karras stared into the flickering flame, his face set, his expression grim. He whistled sharply, and Zephyr appeared in the hole above, head cocked. The Lord Veritant looked up.
"Bring me my stuff," he called out.
He steadied himself with his sword as the hold shook. Gage frowned as he caught hold of a support beam. The ship felt as if it were about to shake itself to pieces.
"Can you do it?"
"If I could not, I would have suggested something else."
Gage looked up as the bubble containing the image of a warrior chamber of hallowed knights fighting in a forest drifted by. Was that the hexwood that Tarn had mentioned? The only hexwood that Gage knew of was a forest on the slopes of the Nevergreen Mountains. A harsh sound filled the air, a scream of pure, infernal malice. It rip-soared through them, and Gage staggered, hand clamped to his ears. Even Karras shuddered, squinting against the monstrous pressure. Only Kuva didn't flinch. She looked around.
"Demons," she said flatly.
"Where?"
Bryn demanded from above. Even as he spoke, something long and pink erupted from the splintered end of a broken plank and swiped at him. The Dwarin jerked back with a curse as the pink horror hauled itself towards him, a twisted grin on its malformed features. His hammer snapped out and crushed its head. It flopped to the deck, still partially merged with the wood. Demonic chortles echoed through the planks, and ugly faces swam across the interior of the hold. Hands and talons oozed out of the grain of the wood on all sides, reaching for them. Gage stabbed a leering face as it bulged towards him, bursting one yellow eye.
"Karras, whatever you're planning, make it swift," he said.
A muffled shriek sounded as Zephyr reappeared, clutching Karras's staff in her beak. The Griffhound leapt into the hold, bounding from broken plank to beam, agilely avoiding the burning talons of the demons that swiped at her. Karras caught up his staff and slammed the ferrule down. Light blazed from the lantern, bathing the hold. For a moment, the demons retreated, but only for a moment.
"Go," he rumbled. "Get above decks."
Gage hesitated. "What about you?"
"I am where I must be."
Karras met his gaze.
"Much is demanded of those to whom much is given. The time has come to pay down that debt."
The fires roared up suddenly, licking across the ceiling and spreading across the floor. Gage and Kuva were driven back towards the steps leading to the upper deck. Karras gestured with his sword.
"Zephyr, go!"
The Griffhound shrilled, as if in protest, but leapt over the growing flames to join the others. As they backed up the stairs, Gage's sword split a demon's leer, and Kuva's axe finished it. Blue horrors rose from the bubbling remains, and Gage punted one of them into the spreading fire. The other was split into two burning, cackling demon flames by Kuva. Gage stamped on them, snuffing them out. Over the spreading flames, he saw Karras raise his staff. The lantern of abjuration glowed with a light that rivaled that of the flames. The Lord Veritant was chanting as demons rose up around him, bleeding from the floors and walls. The creatures tore at him, their cackles taking on a frenetic quality. Lightning bled from his wounds and crackled within his eyes. His voice thundered above the wind and the howling of demons. His sword slashed out, spilling demon ichor as his prayers reached their crescendo.
"Come, Gage, hurry!"
Kuva said, catching Gage's arm and hauling him up the steps.
"Whatever he's planning, we won't survive it this close."
He allowed the elf to pull him out of the hold, but he couldn't look away from the Lord Veritant's final stand. The flames encircled Karras like the talons of some great beast. His cloak burned away to ash as Gage watched, and his armor blackened and warped, its gilding dripping away as the sigils etched into the plates glowed white-hot. But still he stood, holding his ground against innumerable foes and the heat of foul magics. Azure light bled from him, rising in crackling motes from his armor and exposed face. Despite all of it, he was smiling. That was the last sight Gage had of him as he scrambled above decks with the others. Bryn hurried towards them.
"The crew, what's left of them, scrambled the drift boats a few moments ago," he said. "Think they know something we don't?"
Cobalt lightning lashed upwards through the holes in the deck. It ravaged the masts and upper decks, tearing at the wood. Somewhere, demons were screaming, not in joy now, but in pain. And, Gage hoped, fear. Whatever Karras was doing, they didn't like it. A moment later, a column of lightning blazed upwards through the deck, scattering boards in all directions and nearly deafening Gage. One of the masts cracked and slammed down, knocking them all sprawling. Overhead, the gas bag rippled as lightning tore across it, leaving burning punctures in its wake. Demons tried to free themselves from the wood, only to be caught by the strands of lightning and hauled back towards the hold, dragged screaming into the radiance that burned there. This was not the sickly glow of the ritual fire, but a purer light, the light of Azir, of Sigmar's cleansing storm, unleashed at the heart of whatever ritual the foe had enacted. The ship bucked beneath the touch of the lightning. Whole sections of the hull cracked and fell away, raining like burning comets over the city. Gage looked at Bryn.
"I don't suppose there's a drift boat left?"
Bryn grinned and patted his hammer.
"I thought you might ask that, so I made sure of it."
He turned and clambered off, moving as fast as his thick legs could carry him. Zephyr bounded ahead of him, screeching in encouragement, and Gage and Coover followed as quickly as they could. The hopeful traveller was cracking apart even as it drifted over the city. Lightning crawled across the shaking deck, as if urging them on. The drift boat was a curved leaf of massive proportions, folded and shaped by the green priests of Hammerhal Gyra into a vessel which could catch the wind and carry its occupants safely to the ground. It hung from the side of the rail, and they hastily clambered aboard, settling themselves on the rounded benches. Coover's axe easily sliced through the ropes holding it attached to the airship, and Gage's stomach leapt into his throat as they dropped away from the lightning-racked hull of the hopeful traveller. The city rose swiftly to meet them, before the drift boat caught the wind and levelled out. Below them, Hammerhal Gyra was burning, or at least parts of it were. Even from such a height, Gage could hear the crack of gunfire and the bellicose grumble of iron-welled artillery.
"He's dead, then,"
Bryn said, watching as the hopeful traveller succumbed to the forces within its hold. The night sky blazed bright for a moment as the airship exploded, and the last of the lightning savaged its way towards the stars and Azir.
"That sort of lightning only crackles when one of Sigmar's chosen falls."
"Yes, but in death he's beaten them," Gage said, and knew it was true.
The raw power of Karras's sacrifice would surge through the mystic pathways that Tarn's cult had created, hopefully collapsing them. Without constant reinforcements, the remaining demons and Zangors would swiftly be overwhelmed by the city's defenders.
"Not all of them, I hope," Bryn said. "Be a dull affair if we go through all that and miss the battle because we're too busy riding a flying leaf."
Coover laughed.
"There are always more demons to kill."
"She's right," Gage leaned back. "Somehow, I think we'll find a way to keep busy."
He reached out and stroked Zephyr's flat skull. The Griffhound settled beside him, chirping. If she was dismayed by the fate of her master, she gave little sign. Then, perhaps, she knew she'd see him again, sooner or later. Gage looked up, watching as the burning wreckage descended across the horizon.
"Hurry back, my friend," he murmured. I fear we'll need your light again, and sooner than we think.